Welcome to Choice Tunes, and I think we all know what we do now. We get somebody in, talk about their life, and then the music that's part of their life and why they chose them. Particularly today, I want to talk to this person because at the end of the day, there is a function coming up I think it's May, which we're going to find out about, and I'm fascinated to hear about it because I know a little bit about it. But anyway, it's my pleasure to introduce Cliff to you. Now, Cliff is a member and I think on the board down at the Healesville Community Gardens. We've had Ethne in a couple of times. This time we're going to talk basically about Cliff. Welcome, Cliff.
Welcome. Thank you.
Cliff, we like to ask all our questions to all our people that come in a bit about it. So where were you born, Cliff?
I was actually... I'm an immigrant. I was born in Hayes in Middlesex, which is part of London in the UK. So, yeah, my parents came out here when I was 18 months old.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah. So you're really an Aussie. I mean, you might have a birth over there, but when you come out at 18 months, you weren't...
I was forcibly naturalised when I was 13, so I am an Australian.
What brought your parents out?
Work opportunity. I think Dad was working in sort of marketing and management, and an opportunity arose here with Quaker Oats. So he came out, Mum and Dad and I. Yeah.
Sounds great. All right, so you went through school and all that sort of stuff. We don't worry about that. Everybody went to school. What was your first part-time job?
I was pretty lucky, actually. My first part-time job was in a toy shop. So, 15 years old, I got a job in Frank's Toys in Dorset Road.
Yeah,
in
Brania. I know that. Yeah. I know Frank's Toys.
Yeah. So I had a sales position in a giant toy shop. It was pretty good.
It'd be pretty good. Yeah. So what was your first full-time job?
Wow, first full-time job. That's a hard one to think of. Now I have to go back to, having gone through uni, I probably came out into theatrical lighting. Strand were the manufacturers of lights for theatre for decades. And what remained of Strand was operating here in Port Melbourne under, it was called StarTech Technologies, and I got a full-time job there.
Oh, right. Setting up in theatres, like your major theatres?
Yeah, not so much setups, more supplying the product or speccing the product. So you might have a school gets a new theatre and they needed a lighting system, a desk and dimmer control units and lights. Right. And so you'd spec it up and supply it, yeah.
So then is that the job you kept sort of for the rest of your life or did you move on from that or what did you do?
No, I'm on my third career now, I think. I mean, I went to uni and studied... after high school, went to uni and studied industrial design. And so went out and worked as an industrial designer.
Designer of buildings or machines?
Industrial design. Designing and building exhibitions and display stands. So you think about motor show with the exhibition buildings. It used to be on. So the stands that the cars stood on. Yep. And point of sale equipment. So you might walk into a milk bar and see something advertising lollies or the product that held it or dispensers. So a fair bit of engineering, building prototypes, testing them and then getting parts fabricated and mass produced.
All right, so then what was your second career choice?
Well, second career I was an industrial designer living in Sherbrooke and discovered the local fire brigade. Volunteer fire brigade. CFA. So I joined that and within about 18 months I was offered a three-month contract with the Country Fire Authority delivering community safety programs, which turned into a 10-year career.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, so I spent 10 years with CFA and then went across to what was then the Metropolitan Fire Brigade, which is now FRV, worked for them for about 5 years. So 15 years in emergency management.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you're still in emergency management? Or?
No, I took a break and then found my way into local government. So
so you work in local government now?
I do. Yeah, I work for a council. I started with Yarra Rangers Council, which was great, living in Healesville, and then worked briefly for Baw-Baw, and now I work for Hobsons Bay City Council. So I do a commute to Altona a couple of days a week.
Fair little run, isn't it?
It's not too bad. You balance it out, you know.
All right. Neil Diamond, a crunchy granola sweet. Why did you pick that?
Well, chronologically, I sort of try to think about happy times and I can still distinctly remember sitting on the bedroom floor with a giant pile of Lego spread out in front of me, a piece of chocolate cake that Mum had just made and a glass of milk and that LP, Hot August Night LP playing.
Let's listen.
something on my mind. And the tune can be sung and the words all rhyme. Don't say much, well it won't offend. If you sing it, it's cool, that live, I'll send you home. Never knowing what you're growing, think you're growing your own weed. Good Lord! Let me hear that, get me near that crunchy granola sweet. Drinking, crunching granola sticks. Sing it out. Alright. D-D-D. D-D-D-D. D-D-D. I knew a man was out of touch. In his house and he didn't say much. And like a man with a tiger outside his gate, not only couldn't relax, but he couldn't relate. Now he can, family man, tried my brain.
Now, Cliff, I've got to ask you a couple of questions at other things. How long were you with you, or are you still with the CFA?
Yeah, I'm still an active volunteer here with the Hillsville Fire Brigade. I joined SASFRES Fernie Creek Fire Brigade in 1998. So, yeah, I've been a volunteer ever since then.
26 years?
Yeah. When we lived in the city for a while, like, you take a break because you're not turning out.
Yep.
So you sort of pause your membership or just, you know, resign and then rejoin. So, yeah, but I've been part of CFA since then.
So you actually lived in the city for a while, did you?
Yeah. Moved around a bit. Lived in about seven or eight places over 7 years, but lived in sort of North Fitzroy. We had a shop in High Street Thornbury for a while. Lived
what's
above a, the
what
shop.
What sort of shop?
Vintage homewares.
Oh, yeah.
My wife Tanya's still got a stall in the Hillsville Hotchpotch in the main street doing vintage wares, but we had a shop for a while called The Manufactory. Ran that for about 5 years.
Now, a little birdie tells me you've been involved with local theatre, with the Basin Theatre Group.
I blame my parents for that one. They met through amateur theatre in England.
And then did they?
Yeah, when they came out here, when we lived in Altona, they joined the Altona Players, and then when they moved up to Boronia, joined the Basin Theatre Group, like, back in about 69. Yeah. So I used to play around there as a four-year-old, get in the way, and then I think I was on stage for the first time when I was 13, and then got to directing, set building, acting, doing the lights, doing the sound. Yeah.
Which part of the local theatre did you find the best between acting and whatever?
I really like the set building because that went back to my sort of industrial design and exhibition design. You could you know, come up with an idea for a set for a play that could be quite you know, out there, and you had this huge blank canvas called a stage to build it on. So
terrific. And of course, the I know the Basin Theatre And there's the 1812, and they're about the only couple I know of that actually own their theatre. So therefore, you can put more work in, can't you? It's not a case of having to throw a set together and get on at the weekend because you're paying rent.
Absolutely. Look, the Basin, I was spoiled. You could actually nail to the stage floor, which you could go anywhere else in Victoria and they'd be horrified if you took a nail out and nailed your set to the stage floor. So, yeah, we were quite spoiled. We're very lucky to be given that land and build the theatre.
Yep. Sherbet, how's it? Why did you pick that?
Sherbet, how's that? I can remember going to Baronia Mall and there was a Brash's, I think it was, store, old music stores, and the very first piece of recorded music I ever purchased was the cassette of Sherbet, how's that?
Let's listen. Talking to Cliff, and he's part of the management of the Healesville Community Garden. We're going to talk about that very soon, and we're then going to talk about an event that you're coming up, which I'm fascinated by. So we're going to talk about it. But first of all, Cliff, we always ask one hard hitting question. What was the first car you bought?
1970 Datsun 1600.
you would be surprised how many people I've asked, and they either had the Datsun 1600, the 180B, or the 200B as their first
1600,
car.
Definitely. I mean, it was a rally car straight out of the box.
All right. What got you involved with the Halesville Community Garden? Why did you make that decision? Because you've got your life. It's been pretty full with turning out with the CFA and all that.
Yeah.
But what prompted you to get involved with the Halesville Community Garden?
Well, I mean, the places I've lived in the past, we've grown food at home when we've had the space. And, yep. And the house we purchased in Halesville, you didn't really want to landscape it to include a veggie garden. So my wife saw the ad in the local paper saying there were plots available at this community garden. First I'd heard of it. Yep. Walked down and found the place behind the bowls club, and we got ourselves a plot. Got in and, you know, cleaned it up and started growing, and then became part of the community there. So
what do you grow? Do you grow vegetables, or what do you grow?
Yeah, I just grow veggies in season. You know, this time round, I've got a space in the igloo down there, which has been great for the capsicums and the chilies and the peppers. Still picking them.
All right.
And then now I've got a couple of, you know, tomato crates at home to supplement. So between the community garden and the little bit at home, it's just good fresh veggies.
Yeah, and you can't get better than fresh veggies, can you?
I can't. The capsicums are amazing. They're just better than anything I can buy in a shop.
So how long have you been involved at the garden?
Maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And then you're involved with the committee of management. So what made you go from owning, or not owning, but having a plot and then deciding that you wanted to be on the committee of management? Or did Ethne come and scratch?
I guess it kind of formalised it, really. I'm always, you know, I'm happy to go and help out, build things or fix things. So, I built the arbor over the gate and put in some sculptures and done a bit of construction work. So I guess the role I have now is that, yeah, if something needs to be fixed, built, repaired, put in place, plus a little bit of my background in you know, emergency management, help them out with some safety procedures, you know, understanding the tools that we have there and how to use them safely.
Yep. And that's a big part now, isn't it?
Yeah, look, yeah, you can't just have, you know, mulches sitting in a shed that people wheel out and then pretend they know how to use.
And don't know.
Yeah.
Midnight Oil, a lucky country. Well, I think we're all lucky, but you tell me why you picked that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the last two were a bit of Age of Innocence. We're getting into the dirty teenager stage now. This is probably this would be the first album I ever purchased. Yep. And by then I had a record player. I was at high school. We'd done a school theatrical production and they'd use this bit of music, and I said, "Who is that?" And they said, "Oh, this is this band, Midnight Oil." And that was it. I was hooked, and I've been an Oils fan ever since. I think I've got everything they've released. And
have you been to any of their concerts?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Back in the 80s, went to some of the big concerts. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of chanting, a lot of cigarette lighter waving. Yeah.
All right. Let's listen to this.
When the deaths are dead and gone. sensation as you go. There's so much space, the heat moves you. Terracotta homes, backyard barbecue and eucalyptus, smell it's fine on the clothesline. There's fast food, slow life and red roof. My silence, comic interruptions. Surely there's some relief in the comic art, the fragile state of working people. Clouds and lovely kings of power, the mutant media base, wank on trees of fashion, toilet paper, flowers, don't talk to me, the backup, fantasy, you live in smelling space, now the rest of the gold, stop down the action, and by the fact you left on show, my fucking control.
I'm talking to Cliff from the Hillsville Community Garden. We're talking about his life up to now and the music that's had an influence on his life. Cliff, I don't like talking about fires, but what was the biggest fire that you've attended?
And Black Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other than that?
Oh.
Have you been interstate? Like, have you been?
Oh, actually, no, I haven't been interstate. I've been away on strike teams in Victoria. So
have you?
Last time, the big Gippsland fires of 2019, 2020,
yep.
We had a crew from Hillsville go down and pretty much embed themselves in the town of Buchan and look after the town when the fire came through.
See, one of the things I've got a huge amount of time for is that the CFA guys are often giving up their holidays, aren't they, to do this. Like, I've heard stories of a CFA volunteer who used up his full 4 weeks annual leave just fighting the fire, and he came home, he had no leave.
Yeah, I've been reading about that recently too. And it's like, don't be a volunteer. If you think there has to be compensation, I'm pretty hard on that myself. I use my holiday pay.
Yeah.
I'll use my, and some organisations I've worked for say, look, we'll look after you. And others don't because they can't afford to.
Yep.
But that doesn't sort of dictate whether I can or can't go and help.
No, I guess the point I'm trying to make though is it's so much better, if you could use that word, for a volunteer who's given up so much to do it, as opposed to somebody, and I'm not having to go at any other service, but as opposed to someone who's paid to go down there. I mean, if a guy's prepared or lady's prepared to give up their time and that, I think it's just so much, they deserve so much better or so much praise.
I'll take you on that one again too, because having worked for Metropolitan Fire Brigade, who are now FRV, and for Country Fire Authority, I don't see a distinction between the service commitment. Now, if you've chosen it as a professional career and it pays for you and it supports you and your family and you dedicate your life to it, your choice. If you work in some other way to make money and look after yourself and your family but volunteer with CFA, your choice. But I still have equal amount of time for volunteers or paid firefighters on the fire ground.
Terrific. Oh, that's good. Chris Wilson, The Changeling. Why that?
Live music. So this, I'd say this is probably, if I could go back in time to the one concert I wish I'd been to, it would have been to see Chris Wilson at the Continental in Paran when this was recorded.
So, all right. Let's listen.
Thank you. packed your things in a cardboard case. Cardboard case. Slammed the door on me weeping. Weeping. Move if you think it's alright. Move if you think it's alright. The change is like the wind. And you and my love were a vagabond, vagabond.
Now, Cliff, I want to come back to talk to you a bit about some of these acts, but I particularly want to get on onto this event that you've got coming up. It's coming up at the community gardens when...
It's actually coming up on what we call the Green, which is that nice bit of grass on the corner of River Street and Green Street in Hillsville.
Yep.
Called Machine on the Green.
What's the date first?
Sunday the 12th of May.
Righto.
9 a.m. to 12 noon.
Now... I'm really interested in this. Ethne tells me you want three-wheeled vehicles. Now,
two or three. Three. It's an interesting one. Two-wheeled or three-wheeled vehicles self-propelled by an internal combustion engine, which is pretty much motorcycles.
Well, yeah, but I can remember when I was growing up, there was a Mr. Schmidt, I think it was, that looked like the cockpit of a car. That was a three-wheeler.
Look, if one of those turned up, that'd be fantastic.
And also, up in the Mount Everly, up in the Emerald Bakery, they've got a little ute that was a three-wheeler.
It
was encased and it was like motorbike handles and that. Were there many three-wheel... And of course, you're talking about the motorbikes now where they're like an armchair. You're set up like an armchair.
Those Can-Am Spiders and the other things that are around now. Yeah, and look, we've got to be diverse in our choices and accepting. So this first show, I mean, this is a show put on by locals.
Yep.
Really just bring your motorcycle down, park it on the green, and it's a fundraiser for...
I just want to get off that for a minute. Okay. But are you expecting many other vehicles other than motorcycles?
If someone rocks up with a two-wheeled, self-propelled vintage rotary hoe, then that's fine.
Oh, right. Anything.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it, although the challenge is out there now.
But, it is now.
Yeah. Predominantly motorcycles of the two-wheeled variety. We might get some trikes, Can-Am Spiders or stuff turn up. That's great. Yeah. Some of the bikes... won't actually be running on the day because they're race bikes that have been brought out to be shown because they're racetrack only bikes. It's looking for variety.
All right, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds and No More Shall We Part. Why'd you pick that?
Oh, look, we've all got our dark, quiet, goth-based, melancholy sides and Nick Cave is another one. I think I've got everything he hears I can find and it's a beautiful ballad.
Let's go.
And no more shall we part. It will no longer be necessary. And no more will I say, shall we part? The contracts are drawn up, the ring is locked upon the finger, and never again will my letter start. Have been buried now, and all of the birds will sing to your beautiful heart upon the bough, and no. Chain of command has been silenced now, and all of those birds would have sung to your beautiful heart anyhow. Stay by me.
Cliff, Fairy Tale of New York. Why'd you pick that?
Oh, look, Shane passed away late last year, and I remember it, and I remember just reconnecting with some friends that were into the same music. So it's just a nice way to see him out.
Let's listen.
Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one, and then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. About you, got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drums they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. In that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're our side, thank God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around.
Cliff, unfortunately, our time is just about gone. First of all, I want to talk to you about the next one we're going to play, Weddings, Parties, Anything, A Tale They Won't Believe. Why'd you pick that?
That one goes out to my wife, Tanya. That's all about meeting Tanya and the amazing fun life that we have together.
Whereabouts did you meet her?
I met Tanya at uni, RMIT.
Goes right back that far?
No, it wasn't that long ago, actually.
All right, let's just talk about Machine on the Green again. We want to. Unfortunately, I did cut across you to ask you a question. Now it is a fundraiser.
Yeah, look, I'm doing the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride again. That's a global ride to raise money for prostate cancer research and men's mental health. So my way of contributing is to put this event on the week before the ride. Right. So there will be a prize for the best motorcycle on show, and everybody can buy a vote and choose which motorcycle they think should win. So bring your gold coins.
So I guess there's two things we want to do. First of all, we want people to bring along their three-wheel machines.
Or two-wheel.
Two or three-wheel. And also you want people to come along on the day and to pay and all with a gold coin donation.
Yeah, look, gold coin donation to come in and look at the bikes and talk to the owners.
Yeah.
Gold coin donation to put your bike in the show, and then if you want to vote for a bike, buy a vote for $2.
Sounds great to me. Cliff, first of all, thank you for the taking part in Choice Tunes. Again, you just haven't told us a date. Give us the date again, please.
Sunday the 12th of May. In the morning, 9 o'clock, park the bikes up. 12 o'clock, we'll give out the first prize.
So for the people who are coming, they're not really giving up their whole day, so at least they can still go away and do family things.
If you're just going to come and have a look, wander around for half an hour, if you're going to park your bike up, then go and enjoy the main street of Hillsville.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Cliff. Unfortunately, I've got to go, but thanks for being part.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It was in the pouring rain. None of us quite sure if we would see England again. Some fool muttered death or liberty. And there were six of us together, a jolly hungry crew. And as the days went by, you know our hunger quickly grew. Some fool muttered death or liberty. So that night we made fires out of twigs and out of bark. And our stomachs, they were rumbling all through the night so dark. Wondering, trying to keep ourselves alive. And when the sun, it rose next morning, well, a six had turned five. And I said, right, another one, don't you frown. Chew the meat and hold it down. It's a tale they won't believe. When I get down a whole bar town. Five of us were nervous, and I tell you that's a fact. But you should have seen the bastard who was carrying the axe. He was a sick man, he had murder in his heart. And then we reached the Franklin River, and it took 2 days to cross. We were wet and almost starving, and for food we're at a loss. We were hungry men with murder on our minds. So that night we made fires out of twigs and out of bark. And our stomachs, they were rumbling all through the night so dark. And they were making noises that death could not ignore. And when the sun came up next morning, well, a five had turned to four. And I said, run, get another one, don't you frown. To the meat and hold it down. It's a tale they want to believe. When I get down to Hobart Town. And the four of us kept marching to a place called Western Tears. A country full of tasty game, for us it lent no cheer. We had no guns, we were traveling without hope. But the axe it loomed so ominous, God's hand was at play. For a sick man is a type of game which cannot run away. So stay easy, my good man, your time's at hand. So that night we made fires out of twigs and out of bark. And our stomachs, they were rumbling on through the night so dark. I can't say that I feel guilty, cause after all it wasn't me. But when the sun came up next morning, when a four had turned to three, and I said, right, get another one, don't you frown. Shoot the meat and hold it down. It's a tale they won't believe. When I get down to Hobart Town. Three of us kept moving, but one was sinking fast. He'd been bitten by a snake, and you could see he would not last. So stay easy, my poor man, your time's at hand. Then when he could march no longer, his time was there at last. We were far too weak to carry him. Subsistence, it comes first. Stay easy, my good man, your time's at hand. So that night we made fires out of twigs and out of bark. And our stomachs, they were rumbling off through the night so dark. It was a message off, but it was what we had to do. And when
When the sun came up next day, guess what? The three had turned to two. And I said, right, there's no one, don't you cry to me. And hold it down to tell they won't believe. When I get down to Hobart, been looking at me funny, sort of eyeing me for days, and you would not need to be too bright to know that bastard's ways. He was a sick man, he had murder in his heart. But even bastards have to rest, and even bastards have to sleep. And when he was in the land of Nod, straight over I did creep. And the axe that he had wielded now was mine. So that night I made the fire out of twigs and out of bark, and my stomach, it kept rumbling all through the night so dark. I can't say that I enjoyed it, and it wasn't exactly fun. But when the sun came up next morning, when I do it 10 to 1, and I said, right, no one, don't you frown to me, and hold it down, it's a tale they won't believe. But I get down to Hobart Town, down to Hobart Town. History is a pack of lies, as any fool can tell. So when I got down to Hobart Town, I told my story well. But do you think they would believe one word I said? For they thought that I was covering for my mate still at large. Should they be roaming in the bush so wild and free? Back to old Macquarie Harbour they sent me. But I remembered fires made of twigs and made of bark, and my stomach it kept rumbling up through the night so dark. And this young fool, he just said to me, hey, it's liberty or death, and he looks a rather tasty one. But this time I'll go not when I'm singing. Another one, don't you cry to me.